The next case is 00357 and 415, State of Ohio versus Thomas Randall Wells.
Justin's testimony, which to me was pretty clear, supports penetration.
I think Justin could testify a lot better, and I think that the testimony clearly provides some ambiguity as to what actually happened that day.
I want to know whether you think Justin's testimony establishes penetration. If I take a level and put it against that wall to see if that wall is level, have I penetrated the wall?
I think Justin's testimony demonstrated the penetration into the buttocks.
Okay, show me where he said that. Because that's the only thing we have to judge the case on, isn't it?
Well, in my brief, if I may.
You do it at page...
I believe it's a transcript, page 142.
You do it on page 2.
On page 2 of the brief, correct. On page transcript 142.
Mm-hmm.
Jumping into the middle there, just did you feel it in there? No. Did you feel it touch you? Yes. Where did it touch you? My bottom. Just the people's bottoms that are correct. Is that right? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And then he goes on to say, he was asked, was he trying to get it in the crack?
And did he get it in the crack? No.
Was it around the crack?
Was it around the crack? Yeah. Okay, the level was around the wall. Has it penetrated the wall?
Well, that's what we're here to determine, whether around.
Well, just answer my question, if you would, on that. Has the level penetrated the wall? Hasn't, has it?
No, it hasn't.
Okay, so I bang it on the wall. Now, it doesn't leave any kind of an impression at all. Have I penetrated the wall?
Well, I think if you turn to the vaginal rib cases, yes, you have. Because if you're banging it on the labia or the wall or behind it, that is not a deep penetration. So I think in a similar situation, if you're banging it on the buttocks, then you could also have penetration. As the Connecticut Supreme Court and the Wisconsin Supreme Court, and also, I believe, the Indiana Supreme Court have noted, again, the actual fact of not the degree of penetration should control coupled with this argument for a purpose, the state contends that the General Assembly signaled its intent by drafting the language penetration, however slight. It does not stand to reason that the legislature utilized this language but then demanded a specific degree of penetration. Because the General Assembly thinks cabin together with penetration, however slight, a broader interpretation can reasonably be attributed to the legislature's language. Further support can be gleaned from the many courts that have interpreted what constitutes penetration into the vaginal cavity. Looking to the vaginal rape cases is important for at least three reasons. First, because vaginal and anal rape are defined by the same statute, statutory construction instructs that courts are to provide consistency to the application of words and phrases within the same statute. The General Assembly did not distinguish between the two offenses, and it is argued that this court would act reasonably by fashioning a consistent interpretation for both offenses. Second, little case law exists as to what constitutes anal penetration. However, those courts confronted with anal penetration have comfortably turned to vaginal rape cases for guidance. In doing so, it's not only instructive, but it operates to provide a consistent interpretation of the statute.
Well, let me ask you another question about the court appeals. And court appeals concluded that this was, the evidence was sufficient here to find attempted anal intercourse. If this is not, what would be attempted anal intercourse in your view?
Well, I think when you look to the vaginal rape cases and what we're trying to do, analogize to the anal rape cases, I think once you begin penetration, that is a completed act, and any attempt is an end. I think an attempt in a rape case such as this is going to have to be a situation where a perpetrator, for instance, enters a bedroom, comes upon his victim, tells his victim what he's going to do, takes substantial steps towards achieving that purpose, be it attempting to undress him or her, and then at some point in time stopped from completing the act. So once he begins penetration, albeit the vagina, or the anal cavity, that no longer is attempt, but an actual completed act of rape.
So attempted would be, I think attempted sounds like you're saying attempted would be where there's actually probably no physical contact has yet occurred.
Correct. Because I think again we need to distinguish between GSI, which is sexual contact, which we discussed earlier. If there was a situation where he or she, the perpetrator, went further and placed his penis on the butt, that would be sexual contact in the GSI. But once he begins penetration, I would argue that that is a completed act of rape. Finally, the interpretation given in vaginal rape cases helps explain and establish that the statute at issue can and has been interpreted more broadly than the Second District is willing to allow. Based upon the Second District's reasoning below, it follows that the court would also conclude that penetration into the vagina is required for rape, when in fact, courts across this state and throughout the country have consistently held that penetration into the labia, vulva, and hymen is sufficient. As such, the reasoning shows that the statute can be read broadly and would not lead to absurd results.
You know, can't we just agree with everything you've said and still not reverse in this case? Let me just try again what I said. The only testimony we have is Justin's. And I think every one of us would agree, I certainly would agree, that any penetration, however slight, constitutes the act of rape. But Justin says, and I'm using the best of it, if you read the other brief, it is pretty more explicit, Justin says he was trying to get it in the crack. Did he get it in the crack? Question, answer, no. Was it around the crack? Now, how is around penetration?
I got the
level around the wall, but I haven't put it through the wall.
Well, granted, we did discuss the wall, but here we have a 6-year-old boy who's trying to explain what happened to him in court, and he used the words around the crack. Now, does that mean that there was some penetration into Tyler?
Well, it's clearer than that, though, Counselor. Did he get it in the crack? No. You know, I was pretty impressed with the six-year-old's testimony, frankly. It seemed to me that it would have been easy as a trial judge to qualify him to testify, even though the rule says we got to qualify him below the age of 10 or 12, whatever it is now. But in any event, he testified pretty well. You say he could have testified better. You mean better for the prosecution. Yeah. But maybe he was telling the truth. Did you ever think of that?
I'm sure he was telling the truth, and I think several times in the transcript it was pointed out that he was telling the truth. But he said, I don't know what was in his mind, but he said crack. And I would suggest that we're here today on a legal issue, and perhaps if this goes back to the trial court or the court of appeals, then they would have to apply the law of the generation in this case to determine what the evidence actually shows.
Justin, did it ever go inside? Answer, no. Never? Huh? Question, did it ever go inside your bottom? No.
I don't know if Justin was referring to his anus or if he was referring to the buttocks. The testimony has been clear. And it's the state's contention that, in fact, there was any penetration into the buttocks when Justin was able to be raped.
Well, but it is still your obligation to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. The elements. Okay. The defendant doesn't have to prove anything, does he?
The defendant argues that the physiological differences of the vaginal and anal cavities support the theory that an analytical distinction must be made between the two offenses. 2 points rebut the defendant's argument. First, the General Assembly did not see fit to make a distinction, though presumably aware of any physiological differences. Accordingly, this court is free to assume that the legislature did not find any physiological differences pervasive enough to create a chasm in the statute. Second, the physiological difference is intended to be two offenses is not important enough to the statute. Rather, penetration, however, is claimed into either cavity of the statute according to CERN. Thus, this court's analysis should not put on such differences, but instead, as suggested by the Connecticut, Wisconsin, and Indiana Supreme Courts, it actually found penetration. There should be no adequate reason why society or the legal system should seek to protect this defendant's conduct as compared to a defendant who actually does penetrate means and is convicted of evil testifying as such. Either victim is traumatized by the event, and both defendants know exactly what they're doing is wrong. The state is not advocating a position that might catch a defendant unaware. As such, there is no need to draw a distinction between the vaginal and anal rape cases. If there are no further questions, I would simply ask this court to reverse the decision of the 2nd District, adopt the holdings of the 1st, 4th, 8th, and 9th Districts, and find that penetration into the bladder sufficiently constitutes anal rape. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Duell. Mr. Adams.
May it please the court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Jay Adams, and I'm here today on behalf of Mr. Thomas Wallace. The position presented by the state of Ohio must fail from this court for essentially three reasons: factually, statutorily, and based on the case law presented by the state of Ohio. Initially, the testimony in this case has already been thoroughly discussed with Mr. Duell's, particularly with Kelly. You look at the complaining witness, the one witness that could have convicted Mr. Wells in this case, and in fact, as the jury held, did convict Mr. Wells, on direct and cross. Justin testified Mr. Wells never entered the crack. Mr. Wells never went inside his bottom or the hole in his bottom. Mr. Wells had his pants on, they were zipped, and he had his shirt on. Never at any point in time does the boy say penetration. And in fact, upon being asked, was there penetration, the boy says no. Now, the word penetration wasn't used. Obviously, or else we probably wouldn't be here on this issue. But if you look at the other cases cited by the state of Ohio and the facts of this case, Allen, and the other cases cited, the words used, bottom, butt, tiny, all those types of words were used. And in those cases, the children, in fact, said yes. That is what happened. And also, the facts of those cases are particularly more egregious than this case because there is an indication of actual insertion and a completed sexual act. In this case, we may, and I emphasize we may, have a touching on the buttocks. Maybe. Another interesting point factually is that there's no medical testimony presented by the state. Dr. Hicks is the only person who testified in this case. No medical expert came forward to say buttocks equals anal cavity. No expert came to say that buttocks is equal to labia or vulva. There's no expert testimony to say actual penetration. In fact, what Dr. Hicks said was that there is no testimony to prove penetration. There's a complete lack of evidence to prove penetration. He also testified, Dr. Hicks, that is, that based on the crude diagram that was put up by the prosecutor, that he couldn't tell whether or not there was penetration. So factually, the state can't even prove that there was penetration of anything, let alone the anal cavity. Working next to the statutory reason why the state's position was failed. Statutorily, working from a position that all state statutes have to be construed in favor of the defendant and strictly against the state, the state's position is flawed. The state, in their brief, breaks down the phrases anal, anus, and cavity, none of which are found in their individual forms in the statute itself. Now, it's troublesome to me and to Mr. Wells that if you break words down, you can conjure up a different definition of what those words might be, combining those two definitions. Particularly troublesome is the definition of the word cavity, as defined as a hollow area within the body, but is synonymous with crevice or crack. Even if this court uses that definition, separated from anal, uses cavity, defined as an area within the body, we clearly do not have testimony that says there was penetration within the body.
Could you provide us with a copy of the certification order of the Court of Appeals?
I'm sorry?
Did you provide us with a copy of the certification order from the Court of Appeals?
In addition to our brief? I did not.
Well, in addition to your, okay, is it in your brief?
The actual certification copy is not in our brief. It was a copy provided by the state, and that would have been an additional document.
But it's not in their brief either, is it? You have the certification order there? I suspect it was written by Judge Wolf. What did he say in the certification order that he wants us to decide?
Bearing in mind that penetration, however slight, is sufficient to complete anal intercourse, is there sufficient evidence of anal intercourse where the evidence shows at most that the defendant's penis was inserted between the victim's buttocks and the evidence fails to show that the defendant's penis actually penetrated the victim's penis itself?
And the Court of Appeals here said that's not enough. Now, based on the facts of this case, these are all, to me, it looks like it's pretty factually driven. But couldn't you, does he say what cases it's in conflict with? Is it the Hamilton County Court of Appeals case, State v. Allen?
The Allen case.
Okay. Couldn't the Allen case apply here and you still win? Based on the facts, based on Justin's testimony?
Because the Allen case could apply. And we still win.
Sure.
Here's why I think that's true.
Well, I know. That's why the question, because what they said was that insertion of the penis between the buttocks with no penetration of the anus itself nevertheless satisfied the anal intercourse aspect of sexual conduct. Okay? So they said just the penetration of the buttocks area. Here, do we have any evidence at all that there was even that?
No.
So there's really no conflict between those cases, is there?
The only conflict is that in this case, clearly the jury erred in finding that there was penetration of any type. The Court of Appeals added to that error by saying, oh, well, maybe it was contempt. So obviously the Court of Appeals had to have found something. Now, they never made it exactly clear, and that's clear from the fact that they say at most. So I think in their own mind, they had some doubt as to the testimony and what that testimony proved.
You're talking about the Second District Court of Appeals now?
Right.
Because what the Second District Court of Appeals says is that there has to be penetration of the anus itself.
The anus itself, and that was not proven in this case.
Okay, I understand that. But we don't have to go that far, do we? You don't have to go that far in this case.
I don't believe you do.
Especially given the language of the statute that says, however slight.
And there isn't anything, okay, however slight. The statute that the state particularly does not want this court to consider, of course, is gross sexual imposition. As pointed out in our brief and as pointed out in questions to Mr. Lowell, the sexual contact speaks to contact with the buttock. And at most, that's what happened here. It's tough to reconcile that, however, with Justin's testimony that says, were his pants ever off? No. Was his shirt on? Yeah. Were his pants zipped up? Yes. Did it touch your body? No. No, no, no. Prosecutor and defense counsel asking those questions. I agree with you that Justin did testify quite well for a person of his age. And the implication that probably Justin told the truth, I find to be accurate. Justin did tell the truth. Did it ever touch you? No. The legislature used the word anal cavity, and they meant it. And as the state has provided, within the body is cavity. But we don't have that. Now, the state's position relies primarily on the vaginal rape cases. We have argued that spatially, those cases are distinguishable from the present case. Physiologically, they're distinguishable as well. Without going into the details that this court doesn't need, it's clear that the vaginal cavity and the cases that have talked about labia and penetration of that is sufficient. That is one physiologically working unit that is not separated by, as in the instance with anal cavity, you have a fatty muscular tissue on the outside that is in no way connected to the anus. In no way, it's probably too strong, but it is not one working unit, as in the case with vaginal cavity. So those cases, while courts have used them as being instructive, I don't find them particularly compelling in the fact that we have two separate things, despite the fact that they're defined in the same statute. In fact, as the previous counsel argued in the appeal right before ours, this court has the power to do essentially whatever it wants. If this court reverses and decides that there is something that needs to go back, we would submit that it would be, at most, a conviction of Mr. Wolf for gross sexual imposition, inasmuch as that's possibly what the testimony provided. It is submitted that there was no testimony to prove rape, and at most, it was gross sexual imposition. For those reasons, we ask that the decision of the appellate court, if reversed, that
be fine. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Adams. Mr. Duell, you've saved 2.5 minutes of your time.
May I please report? I believe the Court of Appeals, in their findings of fact, did believe that the record showed some penetration into the buttocks. And you can say just testimony, you can take circumstantial evidence that was presented at trial, and you can couple that with the fact that the defendant ejaculated and find that there was at least some evidence presented that in fact there was penetration into the buttocks. And if the court is willing to assume that, then the state would point this court to State v. Ferguson, which in 1983 tangentially held this issue, where Justice Holmes dissenting stated that there was no independent requirement in revised code section 2907.01a that caliper measurements be taken or otherwise proof of penetration be offered. It is only necessary in light of all the circumstances as shown by the totality of the evidence that the act has been perpetrated upon the victim.
What language in the Court of Appeals opinion do you refer to that says they found some penetration?
If I look to the certified order that was referenced earlier in Appley's argument,
yeah, we don't have one of those, I don't think. I've looked, but all right. What do they say? They just pose the question, don't they?
Why do we, the Court of Appeals, believe that the evidence, as far as second district was concerned, the evidence did not point to penetration into the anus, and that's where their logic and reasoning was going, so they didn't consider the fact that Kevin's may have penetrated, or may have shown that there was penetration to the bladder.
But I thought you started out by saying the Court of Appeals opinion did admit or accept or acknowledge that there was some penetration.
I believe that's true.
Well, where?
I'm looking for the certified order.
Okay, then where in the certified order?
I believe it's the certified question that was referenced up to this.
Okay, where does it acknowledge that there was some penetration? Because that's really our issue here.
Well, I believe this is the issue, and I can't point to that at the moment, but
okay.
I believe it's included in the brief, and I believe Judge Wolf wasn't the opinion that there was some penetration into the products.
Well, I read their opinion pretty thoroughly, and there was insufficient evidence of actual penetration of Justin's anus by Wells' penis. That's what they say. Jeggs said there was no penetration.
And I believe you need to look at that and realize that the court was assuming that penetration
thank you, Mr. Duell. The case is submitted. You'll be advised of our opinion. We'll take a brief recess.
All rise.